Yes, it's 100.1 FM, WRHI, AM 1340. Freddie Hammer, Chuck Boozer, Stephen Stone, all hanging around the studio this morning because payday. I think it's payday. I'm pretty sure.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, I think about it. Yeah.
That was yesterday.
All right, we have a guest in the studio with us this morning again.
Nice
she
to
shows
see
up
her.
Here every day, no matter what.
I love seeing her yesterday, and nice to see her again today.
Yes!
Katie Motzinger, that's my fault, by the way, that she was here yesterday and today. But it's so nice to see you, Katie, from the Children's Attention Home.
It's great to be here.
Thanks
Always
for coming
good
in.
Time.
Yeah. Today you have a big meeting going on. This is really an awareness, and we want to make sure that everybody knows that this is an opportunity for you to learn a little more about your children's attention home and your teen, giving homeless. Teens, homeless teens some help.
Yes. So today at 11 at Philadelphia United Methodist Church, we have a meeting at 11 to really give that information to the community and give people a chance to learn more, ask questions of our leadership, and really better understand what the problem is here in the area. It's something that you don't really think about. When you picture homelessness, you don't picture a student. You don't picture a kid walking to and from school or trying to figure out where they're going to stay that night with no parents. That's just not the picture we immediately come up with.
Ever.
But we've got over 200 students in York County throughout the schools that are without a consistent place to sleep every night.
So you get notified sometimes by the schools. Can the guidance counselor give you an information about certain kids that really need some help?
Absolutely. We have a referral process, and just like we do for our foster children, we have a vetting process. So it's not an emergency crisis shelter. That's not the intention of how we've set this up. It's really more of a long-term solution for them. So they can stay with us for up to 2 years. Youth ages 16 to 19 can come in, and we give them the exact same support that we do the foster children who come to stay with us. So they get academic support, they get life skill training and independent living support. We would help them with the transition plan for housing and for career readiness and all of these things that they're not getting.
That they're juggling right now without any guidance.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is really sort of a step to this, sort of an equal step to another service that the Children's Attention Home provides.
Exactly. So when we started looking at this problem about a year and a half ago, and about a year ago is when the state changed several things about the way that it was placing children, including putting many of the younger children in individual foster families. And so when that happened, it opened up beds for us. And so we were at capacity this time last year, couldn't take any more kids without one leaving. But at this point, because of the shift, we actually have beds available, so we're able to provide those services to these kids, which we're excited about.
So tell us a little bit about the Children's Attention Home. What has been great success that you've had with some of these children that have come in at the young age?
Yeah, absolutely. So depending on the age that they come in at, it you see different successes. So the children that come to stay with us from DSS, from the social service system, if they come in younger, then you're really looking at, you know, what can we get them on track in school? Can we get them where they have better social development skills and they're interacting with their peers better, where they can handle conflict in a healthy way? Some of those things even translate to our older children, but also then you look at some of the teenagers that we've had come in, and we're looking at, okay, are we getting them ready for college if that's where they want to go? Are we getting them on a vocational track that is something that they're interested in and give them a career path?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had successes with sibling groups where we've been able to keep them together and really seen them thrive and grow and get back on track where they should be age-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then with some of our older kids right now, we've got a senior in high school, and she's actually going to be going to college, a 4-year university in the fall, and is really excelling in her classes. And that was a result of her being able to come in, have a safe place every night that she can come and know she's well taken care of.
Absolutely.
Can you tell the story here? Can we talk about that? The ladies that you found living, the young girls you found living in a car, somebody reported them, but was concerned.
We did. We had
This is unbelievable to me in 2017. Sorry.
Yeah. We had a call come in from a community member, and she had run across 4 girls that were living, unrelated, living in a vehicle here in the area. And so that's one of the calls that we've gotten. We got another one that was a 16-year-old, and it's not a good home situation. So she's not necessarily homeless, but she's at imminent risk of becoming homeless if something doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And so we not only want to look at the 4 girls in the car and say, what can we do to get them in a safe, stable home? But what can we do for the 16-year-old who's also living in a place that's very detrimental and not helping her grow in the way she needs to grow? So it's preventing homelessness from becoming an issue for them as well.
Mm.
This is really a chance for for the media and folks in the community to find out more about exactly what this homeless teen enrichment program really can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So today at 11, that's exactly what we'll be talking about. It's a great opportunity. We have several people who have told us they're coming, from volunteers to policemen to fire department personnel to you know, people working for the city and the housing authorities and agencies. But there's a lot of, as you can hear, there's a lot of people that are involved in solving the problem for these kids. It's not just us. It's not just the homeless shelters here. It's not just the schools. It's all of us working together. One of the kids that's with us right now, she was supposed to come in on a Sunday afternoon, and it turned out that the Saturday night was when it was going to snow, and she was supposed to have a place to stay that night and didn't, and so she called us and said, I don't have anywhere else to go tonight. Can you take me early? Well, we didn't have the staff availability, and we don't go and get them, but we were able to call the guidance counselor that referred her to us and said, hey, it's 11:30 at night, you know, and we were able to call her, and she went and got her and brought her to us so that she had a place to stay that night.
Amazing.
Where do the funds come for this? Because I know if people come over and ask the questions today, maybe you'll see, and not for everybody, but for some people to really step up and say, this is something I want to give my donation dollars to or my charity dollars to, but it's, you're funded by some... Where did the funds all come from?
Our funds come from a lot of different places. For this particular program, though, we don't receive any state reimbursement. Because they're not through the state, we are solely funded through donations and grants for them. And so in order for us to continue to the program and continue to grow it, you know, we have to have folks from the community step up. And one of those groups, as you guys heard last week, was LICO. Leadership York County this year has a dodgeball tournament coming up on May 13th. And they've done a wonderful job partnering with us. They've still got spots for teams available. So that's another opportunity
huge
to support.
Huge fundraiser for the children's attention
absolutely.
Deficit.
That's at Northwestern High School. And that's going up. Go to dodging4dreams.com and find it. Do you have any information on your website about a link to this?
We do. We have an article posted as well as an event. And we've got it up on our Facebook page as well. So you can definitely find out more about that event and coming up quick on May 13th. So be sure to register your team.
Today's the deadline for the shirts.
Today is the deadline for the shirts. But yeah, I know that they can still get teams in. So let's, you know, help them out.
You seem to have a passion for this. I know this is your training and everything, but you seem to have a real passion for this. Is it hard not to become just involved in every situation that comes through and not become emotionally connected to everybody and stuff? It's tough to separate it, isn't it?
It is. I think at some level you have to remain emotionally connected so you don't become numb.
Right.
I think it's very easy in work like this to, you see another case and it's, you know, it just becomes the norm. And for, you know, for some of us that work at the Children's Attention Home, particularly those that have been there for years and years, it's a lot. It's very draining, but we have a wonderful team that they truly care about these kids like they're their own, you know, and they see a lot of turnover with these children, but it doesn't matter. As soon as the next one comes in, that's their child. That, you know, that is their life to invest in and take care of. And so we're very blessed to have the team that we do.
This was an easy choice for LICO, wasn't it, to come up with this?
A lot of people were. You have a lot of choices when you talk about being in leadership York County. We take a lot of time figuring out the perfect thing for that. And once we visited the Children's Attention Home, it was like, ding, this is the one. This fits all the criteria we wanted to help. This helps all the people that we want to make sure that get the help that they need for the Children's Attention Home. So thank you so much for accepting us and letting us be part of that.
Of course. Like I said, y'all have been great. And just a quick plug about the career fair that y'all did. I mean, LICO put on a career fair in March, and our kids were able to come out and talk to a whole bunch of different professionals here in the area about what they do and what some options are for them. Again, they don't always know what most of them don't know what those are. They've never been exposed to what is possible for them in a career. They see professional athletes, they see actors and actresses, and they see firemen, doctor, and teacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking beyond those basic categories, you know, those career fairs, those opportunities to talk to community members is a way for them to really open their horizons of what's possible for them.
I think also in that same career fair opportunity, there were men, we have several people from the Rock Hill Police Department, Sheriff's Department, and they were able really to bond, I think, at that moment with seeing police at a different level.
Exactly.
You know, their friend, someone that has advice for them, that really cares about listening to what's going on.
Absolutely. One of the things we do every year is a law enforcement day as well. And we work with Rock Hill Police Department for that. And it is, you know, a lot of these kids have had very negative experiences with law enforcement, and through no fault of their own or the police department. It's just the situation that they're in. You know, nobody, sure, nobody is going to have a positive experience when you're being ripped from your home. But so how can we teach them that that wasn't the fault of the police officer, but it was some way to protect them, and that that's what these folks in uniform are there for?
Absolutely.
It's, you know, so there's a whole lot that goes into
the
education.
You said some of the kids are going through some incredible situations and yet are getting themselves to school every day and excelling in the
exactly
and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That to me, the perseverance there that's going on and stuff, hopefully they can step back and realize, man, I made it through that. I can do anything.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like we were talking before, you know, it's we have one of our kids right now, she was walking to and from school and to and from work so that she had food to eat, you know, didn't have transportation. And so it is, it's that perseverance. And you know that she has that want to do more. She just didn't have the person or the people around her to help her do that. And that's a large part of making sure that they're successful after they're with us, is connecting them with people who are going to be there for them when something happens, having that safety net. So
well, we're looking forward to the meeting today. It's 11 o'clock, and that's at Philadelphia United Methodist Church, which is along 160 in Fort Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really quite down toward the QT, correct?
Yeah, it's just past Baxter Village. I think it's just through the second light on the left.
Yeah, mm-hmm. almost across from the Walgreens. So yeah, check that mm-hmm. out today, 11 o'clock. We're going to have all the folks from the Children's Attention Home there mm-hmm. to answer your questions.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Katie Motzinger, you are a dedicated
you
person.
You are!
And well, it's really wonderful.
I love what I do. Love what I do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for everything you do.